Dear congregation, this morning with help we wish to consider with you the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer. So you can find our text in Matthew 6, verse 11, and we will also consider Lord's Day 50, question 125, which you can find in the back of your Psalter, page 86. Matthew 6, verse 11, let us hear the word of God, how we ought to pray. Give us this day our daily bread. And then the Catechism, question 125, which is the fourth petition? And the answer, give us this day our daily bread. That is, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body, that we may thereby acknowledge Thee to be the only fountain of all good, and that neither our care, nor industry, nor even Thy gifts can profit us without Thy blessing. And therefore, that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it alone in Thee. Thus far, the theme of our text and this Heidelberg Catechism is praying for our daily bread. In the first place, with a childlike right. In the second place, for a childlike obedience. And in the third place, in a childlike dependence. So praying for our daily bread with a childlike right, for a childlike obedience, in a childlike dependence. Praying for our daily bread. Our bread. It speaks of a right, doesn't it? When we call something ours, boys and girls, when we say, give me my toy. My means it belongs to me. Or if we work and we have labored for a week, we can go to our employer and we can say, can I have my check? Can I have my wages? Our bread. See, literally it says in the original, this petition doesn't begin with a verb as all the others do, but this begins with our bread. Our bread, sufficient for the day, give us today. That's how it says literally. How can it be? How can we say our bread? See, the Lord Jesus doesn't teach us to pray, Lord, please give us bread today. He doesn't say, give us Thy bread today, for it's His. But He teaches us to pray for our bread. How can it be? Didn't we lose our rights? We certainly did. When we sinned grievously in Adam, in our original sin, but also in our daily continual sins, our actual sins, we have no rights whatsoever, even of one single crumb of bread. And yet we're called to pray for our bread. And that is because God, in His infinite mercy and grace, has given a second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, His Son. All those that come to Him, confessing their sins and believing in Him, are indeed received by God as children. He becomes then, in and through His Son, Jesus Christ, their and our Heavenly Father, dear believers. We have to go back, don't we, to the address of that prayer. The very first words, we must never forget that. Every petition comes after our Father, which art in heaven. So if we pray this prayer in faith, We have a childlike right to our daily bread in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why the Lord Jesus teaches us to pray thus, our bread. It's the children's bread. It belongs to the children of God. We could put it this way. All bread belongs to the children of God only. They have a right to it. What about the unbelievers then? What about those that are not yet children of God? Well, they have no right to that bread. They have forfeited that right. Even the believer has. But by grace he may have it back. Have you ever considered that, dear congregation? If you're not a believer, if you're not a child of God, that you're not entitled, that you're not entitled to that bread that belongs to the children. I know there are many also in our midst that are very concerned about not partaking of the Lord's Supper for fear of taking the children's bread. And that is a good fear, that is necessary. That we are concerned about that. That we would not steal that which doesn't belong to us. But do you realize, my dear friend, that with every slice of bread you eat, as an unconverted person, as an unregenerate one, as an unbeliever, you're also stealing the bread that belongs to the children. Then too, you're eating and drinking, eating damnation to yourself. For you are abusing the good gift of bread that God has given, not to His glory. Not in faith, and whatsoever is not of faith is sin and not pleasing in the sight of God. Whatsoever you do, whether you eat bread or drink water, do it all to the glory of God. Eating and drinking damnation to yourself is not only done at the Lord's table by the unbeliever. It is done by the unbeliever at home too. Every meal that you have not eaten to the glory of God will one day testify against you. Consider that, dear congregation. But at the same time, remember that though it doesn't pertain to the unbeliever to have a right to the bread of God, remember what the Lord Jesus did with that woman of Canaan. When she came after the Lord Jesus Christ, Matthew 15, you can turn to that a moment and see what happens in Matthew 15. That woman that came to Jesus for help for her daughter who was possessed by a devil. And she says in verse 25, Lord, help me. What did Jesus say? He said, in verse 26, it is not meet. That means it's not proper to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. In other words, it's not right to take the bread of my people, of my children, to give it to those that aren't. For the Jews, but now also for the Gentiles. But you know what? Jesus was not refusing to give it to her, but testing her to see indeed if she would respond in faith. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. No right to the bread. She agreed. She acknowledged that. And then the Lord Jesus says, Oh woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. So those that have no right to that bread of the children may have it graciously through faith. No childlike right. But she came to Jesus. You see, we have no right to the bread of God. But in Jesus, we may have it. She asked, she received, she believed, and so she indeed received a right. From that moment on, she could pray this prayer. Our bread. And she received much more than crumbs, didn't she? That's always the case. When we beg for a crumb, the Lord in His goodness gives way more than crumbs. She got not only that bread, those crumbs, figuratively, but her daughter was healed and her soul was saved. Much more than a slice of bread. Her salvation. So the word bread in our petition represents really everything that is necessary for our sustenance, for our health and for our strength, for our life upon this earth. Everything we need for survival. And it also shows that God is willing to give it to us because He teaches us to pray for it. And that's also what our catechism says, which is the fourth petition. It says, give us this day our daily bread. That is, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body, that we may thereby acknowledge Thee to be the only fountain of all good. That we may know Thee, that we may acknowledge Thee to be indeed what Thou art, the only fountain of all good. Be pleased to provide us with all things. See, the Lord is actually challenging us to come to Him and to prove Him and to test Him to see indeed if He's as good as He says He is. And you look through Scripture and look in your life. How much more have we not received than we deserve? Every one of us. Even though so many unbelievers in our midst, and yet we all had something to eat this morning. Isn't that sufficient proof of the goodness of God? That He doesn't strike us dead for we've taken it in unbelief? He's challenging to come to Him in Jesus Christ and know Him as the overflowing fountain of all good, as we also confess in our Belgic Confession, first article. That's who God is. Oh, let us then be like that prodigal son who also considered his father when he came to himself, when he was in a far country, in sin and in all kinds of dire circumstances. He was thinking about his father. He came to himself. Luke 15. And said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? Bread enough and to spare. And I perish. He suddenly realizes what fool he is. Perish with hunger. And you know what happened with that one? Children, young people, he went home and said, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Not worthy. No right to thy bread anymore. And those that come, as unworthy ones, as owning up to the fact that they have no right, may have a gracious right. A free and sovereign gift. That's what the Lord Jesus is. And in Him, will He not give with Him all things, we read in Romans 8. With Him, all things. Without Him, nothing. Nothing. Our Father. That's what this prodigal discovered, what he had in his father. And did he only get bread when he came to his father? He wasn't worthy even of that, but was it all boys and girls that his father gave him? No. He received his father's best robe, his coat. He got a ring on his fingers. He got new shoes. The fatted calf was killed. He was welcomed home. It was a feast. Joy in heaven for one sinner who repents. Bread enough and to spare. But most of all, what he couldn't imagine is the love of his father. That his father didn't give him all these things, but he embraced him. He stood even waiting afar to see if his son was coming. And so God, as it were, is waiting. He's setting all these gifts, all his goodness before us. Bread enough and to spare for us and for others. No lack of bread. Our catechism instructor is very biblical when he extends the word bread then to mean all things necessary for the body. We see that in the woman of Canaan, we see that in the prodigal son. They got way more than the crumbs and the bread and the food. They got everything. Give us this day our daily bread. Shows then that in God we may know and have perfect provision for all our needs, physical, mental, spiritual, social, whatever it may be. There's nothing lacking. You see, in one way, it seems such an anti-climax, isn't it, if you go from the first three petitions to the fourth petition. Hallowed be thy name. What a lofty goal. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. And then give us bread. Give us our bread. It seems like so out of place, isn't it? But it isn't. You see, it shows a lot of things, but one of the things it shows is that no need too small, nor need too great. From the most lofty thing we're called to do to the most minute thing, we can lay it all, boys and girls, before the Lord. He hears it, and He will supply. And indeed, though our focus in prayer is on God, and to exalt His name and to glorify Him, it is to be done on earth. In our minds and our thoughts, we must be lifted up to heavenly places, but we must do it upon this earth. We're still here. And as simple as it is, we need bread to do all these lofty things. Because without bread, we can't live. Boys and girls, you can't go to school, you can't play if you don't eat. No matter how high your station and calling, as we heard it last time, is in life, whether you be a boy or a girl in grade 1 or kindergarten or the President of the United States, we all have to eat. No matter what our task is, we can't do it without eating. We can't do it without eating. And that brings us to our second point. For we pray for our daily bread, not just to eat, but to do something so that we may indeed display a childlike obedience. All things necessary for the body doesn't exclude our soul. You see, we receive all things for our body so that we may be enabled in our soul and with our body to serve God and each other. To love God above all and our neighbor as ourselves. And we can't do that if we don't eat bread. So that we may hallow His name, cause His kingdom to come, and do His will. We need much more than daily bread, but we need bread. Food, clothing, shelter, all that belongs to it. And God is willing to feed us with bread convenient as He did Israel with manna in the desert. And water from the rock. He fed them, but with a purpose. We read that together in Deuteronomy 8. Turn with me to that chapter, if you will, and you can see in verses 2 and 3 where the Lord sets us all before them. He says, I've commanded you to do these things. That's why I fed you with manna. I'm not only your God who gives you everything that you need spiritually, but even physically. Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee, to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep His commandments or no. And He humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that He might make thee know that man does not live by bread alone. You see, He humbled us. He humbled them so that we would be dependent for our daily bread in order to do His will. Humbled us so that we would take this bread with a childlike right in order to perform a childlike, humbled obedience. Give me this day our daily. It doesn't say give me this day our daily bread, but give us this day our daily bread. You see, we do not go to the Lord and seek all that for selfish purposes. Give me, because that's the spirit of the day, that's our natural spirit. But give us our bread, not only for myself, Lord, but for others too, so that we may serve Thee, that more people may serve Thee with a childlike obedience. And we know we cannot and we will not do without feeding upon the bread of life, the Lord Jesus Himself, the living Word of God. We cannot do it only with manna. Only with bread with a small b. We need the bread with a big capital B. The Word, the living Word. And that's also in our text. You find it in the verse that we just read, verse 3. That He might make thee know that man did not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. And the living there is not just existing. That's living. That's acting. That's speaking, that's thinking, that's working. That's the word living here. Don't you notice there too how the Lord gives much more than bread? We read that in verse 4 and 5 and 6. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee. Their clothes, boys and girls, didn't wear out. They wore for 40 years the same clothes. Can you imagine? The same shoes, it says. Amazing. What a wonderful thing how the Lord gives way more than the basics. He gives abundantly, but with a purpose. Verse 6, therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in His ways. God gave these shoes to not wear old, to use them, to walk in His ways, to fear Him. And you read verses 7 through 9, much more than that yet. All kinds of pleasant things are listed there. Good land, brooks of water, fountains and depths. Land of wheat, barley, vines, fig trees, and so forth. Verse 9, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. What an abundant testimony. They even have iron there and brass. And it's not a conclusive list. It's just an example of it. There's way more. But in order, all that abundance, verse 10, to bless the Lord thy God. To bless Him, to praise Him with our mouth and with our walk. That's why we've had the slice of bread this morning. Or whatever you ate. But we're not to live by bread alone. But by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Live by His law and by His gospel. Dear congregation, is that what you do? What we found here in verse 3. Do you live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God? By every word. Now, if you have to live by every word, that means you've got to read it. You have to know it. How could you live by every word if you don't read it? It's good that we read our Bibles. We must feed on the Word of God. We must eat from the bread of life by reading the Word of God, by reading the words of God. And I'm sure most of us read or eat three times a day. Don't you, boys and girls? Three meals a day most of the time. And that's to feed our body. How much more should we feed our souls three times a day, even on the Word of God? In private, in quiet. Do you do that, teenagers? A psalmist in Psalm 55 says, evening and morning and noon will I pray and cry aloud, and He shall hear my voice. Three times a day He does it. He has a desire for it. Do you have a desire for it? A hunger and a thirst after the Word of God and after righteousness. Hungry to be fed with the bread of life. And to drink the water of life. So you may have strength to fight the good fight, the warfare against sin. To seek truly to live to the glory of God. Psalm 119. Verse 103, How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. It is good food. It is healthy food, healthy for the soul, for the bone, and for the marrow of our living. No, it's not always like that, that it tastes sweet and that you may have a sweet communion with the Lord. Sometimes reading the Bible can be just plain hard work, fighting distracting thoughts, fighting cold hearts. You say, oh God, how can I be so cold when I read thy word? It ought to be sweet. But you know, sometimes with food too, there's food that you can take and gives you instant energy, right? You right away feel refreshed. But there's also a lot of food that you eat that you don't feel anything of, but it may strengthen your bones the next month or so. You see, it's the same that it works with the Word of God. We may not feel immediately its effect, but it does that which God has sent it for. It will accomplish His purpose. So it won't always be sweet. But it won't be at all if you don't do it. If you have no private time with God, then surely you will not have sweet fellowship with Him, because man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Not otherwise. There is no other way. And so we pray for our daily bread. Pray for our daily bread. But that doesn't, of course, mean that we must not work for it. Also, we're called to pray and work. We pray, give us this day our daily bread. So it's God's gift. So in one way, we cannot earn it. And yet, you know, we are all called to earn it. We're called to have a job, have an occupation. We have to make a living, we say. Or we have to put bread on the table. So we have to work for it. So, you could say in one word, it's true that if we don't eat, we can't work. But the Bible tells us also the other way around, if we don't work, we shall not eat. 2 Thessalonians 3:10. If any would not work, neither should he eat. So we must work. Work is a blessing. Work was already instituted in paradise. Adam worked. It was a joy and a delight to him. He always did it to the glory of God. And when sin came, yes, that all was spoiled. Then we read, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat, what? Bread. Meaning to say, through hard labor, you have to earn your bread and all that belongs with it. Here the word bread too is much more than just the bread. Question 125 refers to it and says, neither our care or nor industry, nor even thy gifts can profit us without thy blessing. Now the word care and industry refer to work, to our daily work. Caring at home that the mothers do, fathers at the workplace, boys and girls, young people at school. Industry is everything that has to do with work. We must be industrious without complaining. With a childlike obedience, doing simply, humbly, what we're told to do. The task that is set before us. You see, God doesn't only give us our bread, our daily bread, but He gives us also our daily task. That's why He gives us our daily bread. So we would do our daily task. Simple, isn't it? And it doesn't say that our care and industry cannot profit us, meaning that we need not work. But it says cannot profit us without His blessing. You see, you have to read carefully what it says. Cannot profit us without our blessing. We must work. We must labor. For all bread. For the physical bread with a small b, as well as for the spiritual bread with a big b. We must labor for that too. Labor not for the meat that perishes, Jesus said, but for the bread that is with my Father. Without His blessing, we must very hard work, very hard, and make use of the gifts that God gives us. All the gifts, not only our bread, but our talents, our time at work, spare time. God nourishes us, young people, older ones, so that we would use that food rightly for His glory. It's right in the middle of that Lord's Prayer. And it seems so mundane, so small, so insignificant, but it's extremely important. So we must work hard, but we must not depend on it. We must not expect it because we work so hard. Not even from the gifts that God has so graciously given us. And think, oh, the Lord has blessed us so many blessings, therefore He must be favorable toward us. Well, only if you indeed obey His will, then. If you're in Christ, then. But not because He has blessed you so greatly and given you a beautiful home and all the luxurious gifts that you may have, comforts, perhaps even blessings that the Lord healed you from many sicknesses, all part of that bread. But it will be of no avail without God's blessing. And it will not be of any avail if you do not receive it as a childlike, with a childlike right, with a childlike obedience. And therefore we must now also consider with a childlike or in a childlike dependence. So we're called to pray for our daily bread with a childlike right. That's the command and the privilege in Jesus Christ that God is setting before us. For a childlike obedience. For all these gifts are not just given, they need to be returned. What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits? Rendering unto Him praise and obedience in a childlike dependence. You see, then everything is in balance. We must work. Care and industry is named, but it cannot profit us without God's blessing. And then our instructor says, therefore, that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it alone in Thee. There's the answer. Alone in Thee. Remove it from any and other and every other source, including yourself. So when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, we confess our daily and total dependence on God in Christ. Man will not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's what we live by, and that alone. You see, even when we are still unbelievers, even when we're not children of God, we still live and move and have our being in God, in Christ, Paul said to the Athenians. He spoke to the Athenians, to wicked heathens. He says in Acts 17:28, for in Him we live, move, and have our being. That's in Christ. For our body. We can exist, we can breathe without the Lord Jesus Christ. We have life in Him, we have movement in Him. Without that, we would be not able to do anything. Physically and spiritually. Both. All that we are, all that we have, we owe to the Lord our God. And all things do not come to us by chance, as we have seen in Lord's Day 10, but by His fatherly hand. It's not that it doesn't come from Him. It does. But does it come in His favor? Does it come through this childlike right, childlike obedience, and childlike dependence? You see, then it's in His favor if it's in Christ. It all depends where we place our trust. In others, in ourselves, in whatever it may be, we must forsake it and place it in God through Christ alone. We must withdraw, it says, our trust from all creatures. That includes self. So, here we call to labor. We must care. We must be industrious. We must be thankful for all His gifts, even for every slice of bread that we receive. But we may not put our trust in them. We may not trust in our bank account. We may not trust in our pantries full of food, but in Him alone. We must not trust in our religion, in our good deeds, for we have none, but in the good deeds of the Lord Jesus Christ alone, in His active and His passive obedience. He has and is all that we need. He is our all. We either have in Him everything or outside of Him nothing. All our labors, all our eating is vain without Him. Psalm 127, verse 1 and 2. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that built it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For so He giveth His beloved sleep. It's vain. These builders, as we've seen recently, are not condemned for building. They're condemned for building not on the rock, but on sand. They're condemned for eating bread without faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Simply put. See, then we don't need to go out in the world to find big sins, right? Then we can stay very close home. In our own families, in our own hearts and lives, that's sin. Next time when you look at your plate, consider it. Is this now our bread? So we're all builders, and we must build. We're all bread eaters, and we must eat bread. But we must do it in faith. It's not our toil that provides it for us. It's God who does. And He is doing that so willingly, giving it so abundantly, so that we would repent. We would work for it and pray for it. Give us this day our daily bread. You see, that's why we pray, even this prayer, while the food, boys and girls, is right in front of us at a table. You never thought of that? That we would pray, give us this day our daily bread while it's right there? While our pantries and freezers are loaded with food? And yet we pray, give us this day our daily bread? And so it was already given to us. Of course, it's to express our gratitude to God, that we are grateful that God gives us, that we acknowledge Him indeed to be the only fountain of all good. That's one reason. That we give praise and glory to His name. That we stand amazed that we have food on the table, having not deserved it. But it's also to express our continual dependence upon Him. That we say, oh Lord, give us this day our daily bread. That we continue to place our trust in Him alone. So there's three things actually here that we then consider. You see, we just not pray only for that bread, that we may be blessed by it, but we pray as we look at that bread, that it may indeed be our bread. That we may do it indeed in faith. That we may indeed eat it with a childlike right to it. And that we pray that childlike obedience may flow out of it. That truly we pray in faith, for the just shall live by faith. Not only live by faith, justified, but sanctified. As we receive this bread, then we pray that we may receive the bread of life, the Lord Jesus Himself. As we read His word. If it's a good custom in our circles to read the Bible immediately following or before eating, so that we may receive both breads, for body and for soul. And we pray, Lord, as we read Thy word, guide us with Thy Spirit, that we may truly look to Jesus and to Him alone, and put our trust in Him and in Him alone. And that bread reminds us of that. Literally it says daily. The word daily is actually sufficient for the day. Oh Lord, that I may have sufficient of the bread of life to get through this day. That this, as this bread strengthened my body, so the Lord Jesus would strengthen me in my soul and in my walk. And make good use of that bread. And today we pray it, and tomorrow we must repeat it. And it brings us to the second thing that we consider when we still pray while we have the bread before us. In Luke 11 we read also about the Lord's Prayer, although it's not as complete as in Matthew 6. But there it says in the original, for the word give, it is a tense in the Greek that means a continual giving, a keeping on giving. When we say, Lord, not only give it today, but continue to give it. As I place my trust in Thee, not only today, but every day of my life. Sufficient for the day. Do it, Lord, for reasons out of Thyself. For didn't we get bread yesterday without that there was any reason in us? And so the Lord will do it today. For there will never be a reason in us why we would have that bread, or whether we would have a right to it. And so we then learn to express our childlike trust in Him, surrendering our needs to Him day by day. Leaning on Him. So we must care and labor, but not worry and fret about tomorrow, but see the bread today. And the very fact that we have it today and that we had it yesterday should encourage us to trust in Him and in Him alone for tomorrow. But not think about tomorrow in a worrying, fretting sense. We must care for it. We must work for it. We must be responsible. But not to fret, like as in Psalm 37. We're called not to fret, but in verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell or live in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. So we must trust in the Lord, but we must not presume on it. We must not take it for granted and take it carelessly and thoughtlessly, as if we have a right to it anywhere because of we have done something right. We must trust God as Israel had to trust the Lord to gather enough manna for every day. They didn't have the cupboards full at that time. But there's no difference for them as there is for us. We must in the same manner pray. And the third thing about these pantries full and the freezers full, that doesn't need take away the need to pray for our daily bread at all, for it can be gone fast. Many times in the history of the people of God, in history of nations, people have been living secure with full pantries. But they could have lost it, and they did lose it in a day. Or in a few weeks. Nothing is certain in this world. Boys and girls, where did all the food come from that's in your pantries? Maybe you said, yeah, Mom bought it. Oh, how did Mom buy it? Well, she got money from Dad who earned it. Right. Now, how come Dad earned money? Who gave him the strength and the health? Who gave him a job? So many people are laid off. Out of work. People get sick. How shall you know if your dad may keep working? And then the money won't come in. And then your mom can buy bread. They can lose it fast. Or in this time in which we live, the threat of war looming. How quickly could we be thrown in a terrible turmoil? Especially with the way of warfaring today. It could be so different so soon. And our full pantries will not help us then. Especially not when they're going to be emptied and nothing to replace it. The older ones in our midst may remember times that the pantries were empty. Dear congregation, let's not take it for granted what we have, the abundance of food, and certainly not complain about our food. Boys and girls, young people, older ones, when we look at food and we say, this, I don't like this. I don't like the food. And we just prayed, give us this day God gave it. And then pray for it, and then turning around and saying you don't like that gift. What an offense, not only to your mother who cooked it, but to God who gave it. That was Israel's sin too, wasn't it? They murmured about that manna. They didn't like it. They were not satisfied. They weren't content with what God has given them. And so the same warning that came to them comes to us, as we read in Deuteronomy 8, verse 11, "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day, and become discontent, disobedient, proud. And thine heart, 14, be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage." They forgot their God who fed them day after day after day, 40 years. We read about the rock, a flint where water came forth. And in the New Testament, we read that's Christ. The bread, the manna from heaven, and we read in the New Testament, that's Christ. They dare to say it in their heart. And how many among us do that? And dear believers, too often we do it ourselves. We say, "This is my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth." Like Samson, that he did slay his enemies with the jawbone of a donkey, and he thought he had done it, but then he right away fell down and he was thirsty. He was reminded by God's grace that it wasn't his strength. Oh, let us repent then, all of us, and fear God that he will not take away our bread. That there will come a time, boys and girls and young people, that you would long to have the food that you now despised. God has done it. Even to his very own people that were so close to his heart, he did it to them. He took away their bread. He warned them, as he warns us. Ezekiel 14, one example, where Ezekiel was told, "Son of man, when the land sinneth against me by trespassing grievously, then will I stretch out my hand upon it, and will break the staff of the bread thereof." The staff of bread is the bread supply. And you know, bread stands for everything that we need. Not only the bread that we eat. God says, "I will destroy your food supply." And it says, not only will break the staff of the bread thereof, and will send famine upon it. And will cut off man and beast from it. We think in our society of complexity and advanced levels of technology that we are invincible. But we aren't. Many things show it. And if you're still not convinced, we will see it. Unless we repent as a people, as a church, and as a nation, as individuals. Because let's not look at others, but let's look at ourselves. You see, and that's not even the worst. Times when famine came on Israel wasn't the worst times, really. Sometimes there were good times because people started to cry out for God again. They began to repent. And not only to look for the bread that fed the body, but even for the bread of life. Because that's the worst that can be taken from us. When our pantries are empty, if we still have the Lord, we have everything. But if the Lord would remove his presence, his gracious presence from us, then where shall we turn? And that's what he threatened his people to. And he comes to us with that warning. Amos 8:11. "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." That's the worst famine you can imagine. If there is no more proclamation of the word of God, if you can't go to the church anymore on Sundays or on other times, then we would not leave our seat empty. Then we would appreciate right now that we may still have a place where we may worship God and hear his word. What a blessing! God hasn't yet taken it away from us. Do not despise the preaching of God, the word of God. Do not despise bread on your plate, and don't despise the word of God when you have it.
God says, I might take it away. If you continue in your own ways, if you do not put your trust in me, if you do not believe in my Son, if you spend money for that which is not bread, if you eat and drink without faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you eat and drink, therefore, not to the glory of God, to whose glory then do you live? And eat and drink and work and build your houses. Great shall be the fall of your house. We cannot trust then in others. We cannot trust ourselves. But we can, and we may, and we must trust in the living God. He is trustworthy. And to Him we must turn. Let Agur's prayer be yours and mine. Proverbs 30, verse 8, where he prays this humble prayer. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. But give me, feed me with food convenient for me, suitable, just enough for the day, physical bread, spiritual bread, that I may go one day at a time, one hour at a time, one moment at a time, fighting the warfare, the good fight against sin, and live to the glory of God, and all my shortcomings, all my sins, looking to Jesus, trusting in Him and on His Holy Spirit as He shows Himself to me in His Word. Therefore, I must more noon and evening be in the Word of God. Cannot be without that. Feed me with food convenient for me, just right. Godliness with contentment is great gain. That's the same as praying, give us this day our daily bread. What a rest. What a peace. What a strength. No worries about tomorrow. Ought not be so. It may be assaulted many times, but it ought not be so. Oh, do not live then, dear congregation, without this childlike dependence on Him. Oh, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy and wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? Amen.